Dr. R.J. Rushduni, RR107A1. Every word of the lowest common denominator. Miscellaneous. Genesis. Gen 3. Verses 1-6.
Hear now the word of God as it is given to us in the third chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 5, or verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. May this reading of Scripture be to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Glory be to thee, O God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. When thine sovereign and omnipotent wisdom dost make all things work together for good to them that love thee, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. We thank thee, our God, that in our lives thou hast taken our sins and our shortcomings, our failures and our humiliations, and hast made them all work together for good in thee. We thank thee that thy hand is upon us, that thou dost beset us before and behind with thy mercy, that all the days of our life we have the blessed assurance that thou dost go before us to prepare a place for us in time and in all eternity. And so, our God, with joy and thanksgiving, we commit ourselves afresh unto thee by thy word and by thy Spirit, beseeching thee to so enlighten us that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and may go forth to serve thee, to rejoice in thee, and to magnify thy holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. In one of the most awe-inspiring passages of Scripture, Revelation 5, we are given a vision of heaven and of the great testament or will, man's inheritance. Like every last will and testament of that day, it was sealed with seven seals, and only the executor of the estate could open it. But there was no man, no man fit to be the executor of the estate. And John wept, for the estate was the kingdom of God, a glorious world under God. And then he rejoiced as the word went out that there was an executor. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. But no man was worthy, only the incarnate Son of God. All through history, men have dreamed about that inheritance. It has haunted the mythology of every culture. Every political philosopher and religious philosopher has spoken one way or another about that dream of man, the longing in his heart for God's order, for that fullness of life, for that world in which man truly lives as God created him to live. And the world attempts to offer that inheritance on its own terms. It offers the true will concerning the kingdom and says, here it is. What God offers is not the way. Here is the way. Walk ye in it in terms of what we declare. The first such statement was in the Garden of Eden. Satan came declaring that they were cheated, that God was defrauding them of the tremendous potentiality, the possibility of life, that if they only followed his way, then indeed they would know the fullness of life, that what they were experiencing there was a delusion, that it was hemmed in, that God somehow had cheated them, however wonderful it appeared. And so Satan, as he spoke to Eve, gave us his declaration of what the true will is. How man is to gain his estate, his inheritance. It was a 3-point program. Let man be his own God, knowing, that is, determining good and evil for himself. He shall be as God. Every man his own scientist, by experimental knowledge, establishing, determining good and evil for himself. What God declares to be good and evil is a delusion, Satan said. He is hemming you in. He is preventing you from realizing true happiness, true possibility and potentiality. But let us be scientific about it. In terms of the experimental method, try, taste, and see for yourself. The second point in Satan's program was that man's life is to oppose his righteousness to God's righteousness. That God's righteousness is a borrowed thing. That man's way should be that which is best suited to himself. Know, determine good and evil for yourself. It may be that God's idea of good is what you like. But it may be God's idea of good is tyranny for you. If you follow the experimental method and determine for yourself what constitutes good and evil, your own righteousness may be the best way, the finest way of realizing life, of having true happiness. And third, the implication was that God's way is both slavery and falsehood. Yea, hath God said. God is portrayed as seeking to limit man. Limit man whose potentialities are presented as godlike. Cast off the shackles. Seize the inheritance. Enter into your estate. The answer first given by Eve was the sound one. God hath said. God hath said, as our Lord in the second great temptation faced again as the representative man by the tempter declared, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The principle of life is every word, the totality. Every word means the whole of Scripture. What a sorry thing it is that churches boast that they are New Testament churches and are proud that they have sloughed off the old. How sad that so many ministers in the pulpit progressively end up over the years with a very limited Bible. Little by little, they drop overboard most of the Pentateuch, and then have only a few of their favorite Psalms left, and certain passages in the prophets, and certain passages in the epistles, and most of the Gospels. And they have a Bible about as brief as that of the modernists. And they have a deformed gospel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. And the only sound context of all preaching is in terms of that every word, the totality of the Scripture. But it has become a routine thing in the church today by men who believe that they preach God's word to preach only half a word, a partial word. Sometimes the illustrations that one can cite of the partial preaching are ludicrous. Perhaps the classic example comes from Lorenzo Dow, the old Methodist circuit rider. A very charming, a colorful figure, but sometimes given to performing monstrosities where preaching was concerned. A brilliant man, and incidentally his great-granddaughter and great-great-grandchildren are very good friends of mine. But Lorenzo Dow in his revivals sometimes, in the course of winning souls or bringing people into line, butchered Scripture. On one famous occasion when a new hairstyle came about in which the women coiled their hair up into a top knot, and he felt that this new style was offensive and vainglorious, he preached a sermon against it. He said the word of our Lord and Savior was, top knot come down. And this was the literal word of our Lord. And women were taking the hairpins out of their hair all over the camp meeting. But there were a few bold women who cornered him afterwards and asked him where that passage was, where our Lord had said it. And Lorenzo Dow referred them to Matthew 24:17 and dashed off before they could look it up and read, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. I cite this verse because Lorenzo Dow is dead. I could cite some living preachers who have done worse. But it is every word, the totality of the word that we are to preach. And man's freedom is in total submission to the whole word of God. It is his means to power, to liberty, and to righteousness. The every word of God is the true testament or will of revelation, the terms of our inheritance. It is only as we regenerate in Jesus Christ, abide by his every word, that the inheritance is opened up for us progressively, and we enter into the glories that the Scripture promises for those who walk faithfully in terms of his word. What is required of us is total submission. And the logical alternative is finally total anarchy. But increasingly in our day, men have preached not the every word which opens up the inheritance, the every word in terms of which man can stand against the tempter, but a partial word. A lowest common denominator word. This is one of my objections to the various movements that have captured youth in the past century, beginning with Christian Endeavor, which progressively deteriorated and became weaker and weaker in its theology, to recent movements like Campus Crusade, which cut across denominational lines, which don't want to get into theologies, they just want to present the simple gospel, and it becomes the lowest common denominator gospel. Nothing to offend the Methodists or the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Reformed or the Lutherans. So let's throw overboard anything which might offend. And the result is progressively the lowest common denominator kind of thinking. And the Bible is not a lowest common denominator book. It is a book that insists on every word. And only by every word shall man live. A. Hodge, in his lectures of a century ago, analyzed what would happen to the public schools, which in that day had the Bible. He said because they were no longer Christian schools committed to the every word of God, the principle of the lowest common denominator would take over, and he wrote, and I quote, it is capable of exact demonstration that if every party in the state has the right of excluding from the public school whatever he does not believe to be true, then he that believes most must give way to him that believes least, and then he that believes least must give way to him that believes absolutely nothing, no matter how small a minority the atheists or the agnostics may be. It is self-evident that on this scheme, if it is consistently and persistently carried out in all parts of the country, the United States system of national popular education will be the most efficient and wide instrument for the propagation of atheism which the world has ever seen. Unquote. Hodge made that statement 100 years ago. We have seen its fulfillment. Every lowest common denominator of faith means that he who believes the least is the most powerful, being the common denominator. Therefore it is that our Lord declared in terms of the law, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the totality of the word. every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We either have every word of God, or in terms of the principle of the lowest common denominator, following Satan, it becomes man's word, total anarchy. Every man his own God. Every man choosing for himself that which is right and wrong. Thus it is that a century ago, De Meister, writing in France, declared that ultimately the Western world would founder on the doctrine of infallibility, because there is no sovereignty without infallibility, he said. And if God and his word are not infallible, you will wind up with the infallible individual or the infallible state. Remove infallibility from God, and you remove sovereignty from him and his word, and it accrues to man and the state. And so he said finally, and I quote, every true philosopher must choose between two hypotheses. Either that a new religion will come to birth, or that Christianity will renew its youth in some extraordinary manner, unquote. The only other alternative was total chaos, the total collapse of civilization in anarchy. Take away the reign of fundamental law, the every word of God binding every man. And substitute for it democracy, or what you will, and the reign of the least prevails. And the new infallible word becomes either the law of the pack or the law of anarchistic man. And in such an order, every man's word is equally valid. And then there is hatred for the good because it is good. I was interested not too long ago in reading a book about the Hivaro tribe in the jungles of Brazil, near the source of the Amazon. Here is a lowest common denominator people, so degenerate, their minds so numbed by their depravity that they have no ability to count beyond the number three. Filthy all their lives, never bathing. The author, Bertrand Fournoy, said that there was one Hivaro wife who was a captive woman from another tribe, and she liked to bathe periodically. And all the other women were filthy, lice-ridden, hated her and despised her with a passion, because they could not entirely bring her down to their lowest common denominator. They were as low as a people could get. And the principle of the lowest common denominator prevailing amongst them, they resented anything which was an implied criticism of them. And more recently, Dr. Harner, anthropologist at the University of California and visiting the Hivaros, indicated their further flight from life, seeking the lowest common denominator through drugs. And he reported that the Hivaro use drugs extensively. The children start using them at the age of six. Everyday existence is merely the outward manifestation of reality and not reality itself, according to the Hivaro. They believe that the great events of life are profoundly influenced by things that take place in these drug-caused visions. The lowest common denominator is taking them out of life itself. As our Lord said, speaking as wisdom ages ago, all they that hate me love death. And today, progressively, we see mankind turning downward, suicidal in its course. Having rejected the every word of God, it has rejected life. All they that hate me love death. Thus, Christ, having opened up for us the great inheritance, he having been worthy, we enter progressively into the glory of that estate as sons of God, citizens of his kingdom. To the degree that resisting Satan's temptation, yea, hath God said, we say with our Lord, when he resisted Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, nor by his word, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank thee for thy every word. Thy word is truth. Give us grace, therefore, our Father, so to walk that thy every word may be obeyed, thy every word put into action, thy every word made the government of our lives, of our churches, of our states, our homes, and our schools, that we might, as thy people, become inheritors of the glory of thy earth and of thine eternal kingdom, and might rejoice before thee all the days of our life. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thy Son was worthy, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened up for us thy kingdom, that thou hast summoned us to enter therein. By thine every word, to possess it. Our God, we thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are there any faculty
authorized by the Chalcedon Foundation. Archived by the Mount Olive Tape Library. Digitized by ChristRules.com.